This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
If you've ever wondered whether your bathroom habits are normal, well, you're not alone. Today in our monthly pelvic health chat, we're talking bladder basics. We'll look at how often you should be going, what could be a sign of a problem, and what you can do right now to keep your bladder healthy. Well, joining us is Alex Lopez from Melbourne Pelvic Health Melbourne. Alex, welcome to Drive.
Thanks, Warren. Good to be here.
I've got to get my mouth in order, let alone my bladder. Now, let's start with the big one. How often is normal to go to the toilet every day? How often?
Every 2 to 3 hours or 5 to 7 times a day.
Okay. What if you're going more than that? What does that mean?
Depends on how much you're drinking. So, of course, it depends. Your bladder is a kind of a generally a fixed, it's an organ that can stretch and it stretches to kind of a maximum capacity. And some people will drink sometimes 3 litres a day, so they'll go more frequently. Sometimes in a day you'll drink, 3 coffees in a row and you'll need to go more often for that period of time, and then you'll stem it out. So it really is, it's a combination of normal frequency is often about volume intake and when you take the volume.
Is it true, Alex, that if you think look, I need to go and have a wee, it brings on the feeling? Because I find all of a sudden I need to go and I think about it and it gets worse and worse. But then something might distract me and I forget about it and I'm okay. What's going on there?
Well, that's lucky that you are able to delay. For some of us, the thinking about the toilet creates the urge. So it's an associative urge. It's like that key in the door. If you think about the urge and go, a few times, then your bladder associates you thinking about the urge and it actually starts to contract. Now, if the contraction is really strong, you're not going to be able to delay it. But if you've got good pelvic floor control and your bladder contraction when it goes is not too strong, you can often get distracted and delay it. So that's quite part of urgency, a different little condition. And we can get lots of triggers. Some people find just washing their hands becomes a trigger. Or running water for the shower. So if you start peeing in the shower, whilst it's not a problem, it can be a problem for association. So then every time it runs, you need to go to the toilet. So it's just watching. Do you want this to be a habit? Because it may become a problem for you, and watch the associations that you start developing.
Alex, I reckon we've done an experiment. Text us now, 0427-569-949. Do you need to go right now? Because we've been talking about it and we've been thinking about it. Let's say we do have a healthy association with something. It might be the shower and running water and we need to go. How do we retrain ourselves so that we have something that is healthy to associate with going to the toilet and we don't need to go so often every time someone turns on the tap?
Perfect. So if you've got triggers, now these are trainable triggers, so that might be environmental, you need to hold the urge. The urge will generally last 1 to 2 minutes, and what you did with distraction is perfect. So you can count back by sevens from 100. You can squeeze your pelvic floor. You can rub your back. You can curl your toes. Now, some of these have been researched as actual strategies to try and stop the bladder from contracting. Whatever you do, you need to hold that urge and it will go away. And then the association with the washing the hands, whatever it might be, will also go away. It's amazing.
Now, I'm chatting with Alex from Pelvic Health Melbourne, and today's topic is bladder basics, what's normal, what's not, and how to keep yours healthy. Alex, for people assigned male at birth, is post-pee dribble always something to worry about, or can it be normal? Because there's nothing worse than thinking, oh my goodness, now I've got to go and change my undies.
I love this one. Thank you for that question. I get asked this all the time. So the wee tube for those assigned male at birth is like the S bend in the sink. We've got a little dependent section that drops down below the horizontal. Right. And so once you've finished your wee, you've just got a little bit sitting in there. So unless you contract your pelvic floor and lift it up, that's that testes to tummy, nuts to guts lift, you won't get the last few dribbles out over the basin or at the urinal. You've actually got to, what'll happen is you start walking, the pelvic floor contracts, and it comes out in those first few steps. So simple trick, wherever you are at the toilet, sitting, standing, whatever you're doing, once you've finished, lift testes to tummy a couple of times and that'll get that last couple of drips out.
Oh my goodness, that's going to save a lot of washing too.
Oh, and a lot of embarrassment. Mm. I've got a lot of clients that come in and say, I'm leaking. It's not leakage. It's just that it's emptied and you've got this this section of the wee tube that just drops down.
Ah, now, another question that just came in on 0427569949. What if you get up in the morning and you're busting to go and it starts dribbling out on the way to the toilet?
Okay, so that may be that you've been drinking a little bit too much before going to bed. And as we age, unfortunately, we don't concentrate our urine as well overnight. So sometimes, if you think of fullness, the bladder works like a balloon. And if it gets over distended, that's putting huge amount of pressure on your actual system. So it's not uncommon in the morning to have a to get a bit of urgency as soon as you stand up and the gravity and the body weight hits. Then you might find if there's a bit of compromise, depending on whether we're AFAB or AMAB, because our anatomy is very different. For those of us who are assigned female at birth, we've only got a 3 to 4 centimeter urethra and closing pressure. We've got about 1.5 centimeters where that muscle can close.
Right.
For those assigned male at birth, you've got the prostate plus the muscle plus the length of the urethra. So leakage, less common for those inside male at birth.
Ah, that's really interesting. Let's flip it. What's a red flag that something isn't quite right with bladder function? What do we really need to look out for?
The more common things that I'd be concerned about are obstructed flow. So you're busting and you can't get it out. So anything that might be obstructing. Now, again, AMAB, that's going to be most likely the prostate. For those AFAB, it's most likely going to be a prolapse. So different mechanism of something that might be blocking it. But they're the ones I want you to don't muck around with that. Off you go.
Okay.
The other condition, if I can, sorry, I just want to chuck one more condition in there. There's an urgency condition. This is one that's really common. So, you know, we talked about that urgent episode we all get associated with triggers. There's individuals who often have this since childhood, and I bet you can think of some mates who go to the toilet all the time. And you kind of look at them and go, do you really need to go again?
Oh, I hate it when people say that to me.
And that's been often since childhood, and it's often a genetic condition where their bladder muscle contracts really frequently and really hard, and so they're always busting. Now, that's not a weak pelvic floor, or that's not their fault, or it's often not trigger-based. It's a condition they've had since genetics. They need to get treatment for that. We would use a TENS machine, which calms down the nerves. Sometimes you can go to your GP and get medicine, but that's another one that it's not about, you're not really going to fix that with urge delay.
Right.
It's an actual condition of the bladder.
Another question that's come in on 0427569949. What about waking up and needing to pee during the night? What's normal there?
Love it. Okay, so under 60, 0 to 1, over 60, 1 to 2 times a night to get up to go to the toilet is normal. Right. As we get older, as we said, we don't concentrate our urine as well, so you do need to get up a bit more frequently. As soon as it's more than that, that's your sign, what's going on. First, I want you to look at when was your last drink. You want to have it at least 2 hours before going to bed, and I've got some of my patients really overload in the evening, and that can be a problem.
So how much should we drink?
The concept is, the idea is you drink enough for thirst, 1.5 to 2 litres a day. But of course, you might be on a night out and you're drinking a little bit more than that. And of course, that night, you're more likely to wake up a few more times because your body's got to process that. But of course, there's conditions like sleep apnea, any of the heart conditions where you've got some peripheral pooling, you're swelling in the legs. And overnight, that swelling goes back through the kidneys and you produce more urine. So anything that's really two or more overnight that's not associated with perhaps a big night, I'd wanting you to see your GP about. That's normally a medical reason.
We're chatting with Alex from Pelvic Health Melbourne. Today's topic is bladder basics. Another three messages coming in. One saying, great chat, now driving and need to pee. And two others driving. McDonald's is going to get busy all of a sudden.
It's so true, isn't it? And people think of it, probably not a good talk while you're driving home.
Now, when it comes to the pelvic floor muscles, how do we start strengthening them? Because it sounds like they play quite a big part in everything that we're learning.
They certainly do, but I think I want to really temper this message that it's the pelvic floor play a part, absolutely, incontinence control for sure. Again, it's much more for our AFAB. Listeners, that those assigned female at birth, particularly because of our anatomy, that the pelvic floor can really help with leakage. But remember, it's the stress incontinence that helps with that cough, laugh, sneeze, little leak. They're the ones a bit of strengthening can help. If you've got leakage and you're assigned male at birth, it's often different issues. But we touched on this briefly last time. As we said, pelvic floor, we've got a back, middle and front. It's the front we're interested this time for continence. So for those assigned male at birth, imagine you're retracting the base of your penis, turtle head coming in, or telescope retracting. That's how you isolate the front. For those assigned female at birth, it's just imagining you're holding the wee. We can use that for either. Imagine you're holding wee. Imagine you're knotting the clitoris or doing a zipper up on the inside of the pelvic bone. Whichever imagery helps you, it's the front muscle that we want to really build strength on to help with those quick leaks. And we need to do fast training. It's like at the gym. It's some strong holds, but it's also the quick ones.
So we need to alternate. Now, you know what I love about this conversation is we're talking about bladder health and having a wee. And what if someone feels on the radio a bit uncomfortable going to their GP and talking about it? Because not everyone does feel comfortable. What's some good strategies there to talk to your health professional about it?
I think that's difficult. I think having some phrasing and words for yourself that you're comfortable with and just using it. You can use more technical words if you're more comfortable. I'm having some difficulties with my urination. But I strongly encourage, I know that initial conversation might be difficult for all our listeners, but from a healthcare perspective, it is things that we hear all day, every day. I know from my work, it's boobs, bellies, butts and everything in between all day. And we're used to this sort of conversation, and I would hope that your health practitioner makes that journey, as soon as you open the door, completely welcoming for you to discuss the concerns.
Alex, before you go, I've got another acronym for you that you may not have learned in university, WDR. Mm-hmm. It's a term that we hear here at Joy quite often, and it's called a Warren Dunny run, whenever I run from the studio.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nice. They've come up with it.
I can put that in the medical text.
Definitely.
I love it.
Alex, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today on Drive.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. That is Alex from Pelvic Health Melbourne. You can check out their website, pelvichealthmelbourne.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.